All right, look, if you will, tonight in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6. And we're going to talk about my least favorite subject, and that is trials. It says, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations or trials, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, in whom though now yet you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. I want to mention two things, and the first thing I want to talk about tonight is the reality of trials. The reality of trials. They do come. I wish they wouldn't, but they do come. And I want you to notice two things he says. First of all, there are four things he says about trials in verse 6, and I sort of divided them into two things. The first two I said are the decent things in trials. The first thing he says, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season. Now for a season. Trials generally are temporary. They don't last forever. They are for a season. And the idea of the word means that they do pass quickly. They don't continue forever and ever and ever. The Bible uses the same idea in the sense of our time on earth. Compared to eternity, we're only here for a brief time. And the good thing about trials is they are temporary. You and I go through trials and difficulties and hardships, and they are a temporary. They're just for a season. Now, there may be others that come along, but some just come for a brief period of time. And then God gives us a victory, and then God gives us a reprieve from those trials. So they are temporary. Whenever you're going through a trial, it may last for a while. But remember, it won't last forever. Somehow or another, in God's grace, he simply makes it a temporary time. The second thing I want you to notice, he says, though now for a season, that is, they're just temporary, if need be. If need be, which means they are necessary. If need be. He says that you're going through trials first. They're just for a season. They're temporary. And second, if need be, they are necessary. I don't like them. I don't think you like them. I don't think anybody says, Lord, bring on all the trials. But they are necessary because they are God's way to perform a work in us. He allows us on this earth to be here, and we live in a fallen, sinful world. And for a season, he allows trials, or sometimes he may engineer those trials, but they are necessary. Everything that I've been through in life, God has brought good out of, and God has made something better out of that. And probably from God's perspective, it was necessary. Life is not just one big party after another. There are times that it needs be. If need be, he said, you go through trials. But then, let me mention just a few things that he says he does. He uses trials to humble us. He uses trials to wean us away from earthly things and point our hearts to heaven. Oftentimes, we get our hearts and minds on this earth, and trials sort of wean us away from that to think of heavenly things. He uses trials to teach us to value his blessings, and he uses trials to strengthen our spiritual character. There are sometimes necessary in the arrangement that God works in our lives. They are part of that sanctification process. So there are what I call some decent things. The second thing I want you to notice, the two other things, there are some distressing things in trials. Notice what he said. Though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, or the word means trial. You are in heaviness. The word heaviness means just what it sounds like. Heavy, oppressive pressure. And the idea of the word is the idea of pain. At times, trials are distressing and they do bring pain. This word carries two ideas. One, physical pain, but also refers to mental anguish. Sometimes trials bring us to be in a heaviness, in a distress. God understands that. God understands, even though he said here, we greatly rejoice in our eternal future in heaven, he understands that trials do bring a heaviness, a distressing. And oftentimes it is the mental anguish, sadness, to be disappointed, to be hurt, to be anxious, to be fretful, to be worryful. All of these things sometimes are part of trials, and they are distressing. And he recognizes this when he says, even though you are in heaviness. Do not think that oftentimes a trial will not hurt. It does hurt. I can think of a trial that I went through a few years ago that was probably one of the most hurtful things and difficult things I have ever been through in my life. Don't ever want to go through it again. But it was very hurtful, and it was very painful, and it was very difficult. God's grace took me through, but it hurt, and it was very painful. You all know what I'm talking about. Sometimes trials are painful, and they are difficult. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love us. It doesn't mean that God doesn't care about us. But because we live in this fallen world with its sin and all that goes on, we will experience trial, and they do produce anguish and suffering. All you got to do is pick up your newspaper. All you got to do is listen. All we could do tonight, even with just our crowd here tonight, and ask all the things you've been through, I guarantee you we would find that most of us have known what it means to be in heaviness, to experience pain, and to experience hurt. I think of some trials that people go through, and I think, how in the world, apart from God's grace, could you ever make it? Trials are distressing. But they're also different. Notice he says, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Of the word means trials. Manifold means all kinds of trials. There's all kinds of trials. They come in many forms and many ways. There's not just one you can say, all right, there's a trial. They come in all kinds of ways, from little bitty irritations to big things. Trials just come in different forms and different ways and different angles, and you go, where in the world did this come? What in the world happened here? What is God up to here now? They're just the way trials are. They just come in different forms. You can't just line them up and say, okay, I'll go through this trial or this trial. They come in manifold ways, from different angles. It's almost like a house with just thousands of doors, and trials just come in all different ways and different forms and different fashions and different levels. They just come in manifold ways. One good thing about that word manifold is later on he says that the grace of God comes in a manifold way, which means God's grace comes in just the different ways that trials come to provide for us. They're just multifaceted grace he gives. But trials come in different forms. Now I want you to notice the good news. That is the results of trials in verses 7 through 9. Trials are a real thing. And they do hurt, and they are different. But there is some good that God brings out of them. There are three things I want to mention about, first of all, it does a personal work in us. Notice what he said. Verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I like to call this a precious faith. Now, what is he talking about? He talks about this trial, this testing of your faith. And the idea of the word is that it uses in the same context of gold, of when they melt the gold and they melt it down so that the pure gold comes out and all the impurities are removed. And it's the same way with trials. There's something like that that melts and hurts and heats us up, but out comes the pure faith. You see, all of us, if we've trusted in Christ, have faith in him. And trials come and challenge that and test that. And there are times as Christians that we do wonder, Lord, what are you doing? What is going on? I hurt so bad. And there is this testing of the trial. But what happens is through the process of it, God brings out a stronger and a more precious faith. Notice what he says, that the trial of your faith, that is the testing of it, the proving of it, that's what he means, the testing of it and the proving of it, so you can see it's real. I really do trust in God. I really do believe in God. He says that perisheth though it be tried with fire. Your faith in God. You know, as long as everything's wonderful, I say, boy, God just loves me so much. But when the bottom falls out, you wonder, uh-oh, now my faith has to latch on to the fact that I know God loves me. And there's a testing, there's a struggle. But what comes out of it is like pure gold. It is precious when you learn to trust the Lord. You made it. Remember the trial I told you a few years ago? I made it. I come through stronger. My faith in Christ is stronger. How? I don't know. It's just this process of testing. And during the process of it, you falter, you fail, you hurt, you're in pain, you may cry, you may do all sorts of things. But deep inside, there is this faith in God that is precious to him. And we endure and we go through. And this faith that comes out, notice what he says. He says that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold. When they melt the gold and they take out all the impurities, they're left with the pure gold. When God allows trials and difficulties, what is more precious to him than all the gold in the world is that you see your faith in God is stable, that you do make it, you do go through it, you do trust him, you do depend on him, you do still believe in him. And that's precious to God. He says this trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold. Gold perishes, but faith is forever. And even though it's tried with fire, it results in a stronger faith in God. I've told many times, all you got to do is go talk to people who've been through trials, who know the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, it was tough. It was rough. Do not mistake having faith for not experiencing pain. But in the midst of it, I've listened to many of you even say, but you know, God is still good. God is still with me. There's this faith. And that's what's precious to God. So the first work he does is he builds a precious faith. The second thing he does is he makes our personal relationship with him stronger. Notice verse 8. Whom having not seen, you love. In whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Notice, having not seen. And he's talking about these people that have gone through trials. They've never seen God. I've never seen God. God's never come and visited me. But I know God is just as real as anything because my faith are my eyes to see that he is real. He exists. He saved me. He loves me. And so what happens to these people is, whom you have not seen when you go through the trial, you love. You love him even more. Now, I know all of us can testify to that. When I've gone through difficulty and I realize that God has taken me through, God has made me more dependent, God has drawn me closer to him. You know what? Even though I don't see him. I see the trial, but I don't see him. I love him. Just love him more and more and more and more. I can remember some dear saints way back in the nursing home. Can't hardly do nothing. Can't see. Can't be totally taken care of. And yet you can hear them say, you know, God's been so good to me. And I love him so much. There's something about trials that you see the trial and you don't see God, but you love him more. Notice what he goes on to say. Whom having not seen you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing. Notice he emphasizes twice you don't see him. You don't see God. Oh, I wish God would come and speak to me. I wish God would walk in this room and tell me. He's not. That's not the Christian life. The Christian life is faith in what we do not see. But when you go through trials, you love Him more and you believe in Him more. The trials I've been through, and believe me, I raise my hand, I don't want any more. But the trials I've been through, I can tell you, I have stronger faith and I still believe in God. He's more real. He's more gracious. I just know Him as a good and wonderful and gracious God. How do I know that? Because He's given me everything? No, but because I've been through trials and He's taken me through them. Yes, because He's blessed me, but also because He's taken me through trials. So notice, it gets this personal relationship. Having not seen Him, you love Him. In whom now, though you see Him not, you believe. You rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And he's talking about a joy that's not just a joy based on circumstances and happiness, but he's talking about a joy that comes from inside, that you just realize, I'm in God's hands, all is well, and I can trust Him. I can love Him, and I do love Him. Trials build a personal, closer relationship to God. I don't know how they do, but they do. And they take you through them, and you realize God has worked with you, and you love Him more, and you trust Him more, and you believe in Him more, and you're more confident and secure in this salvation. But there's a third thing they do in us. Notice in verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Now, he does not mean that if you believe, then you're saved. That's not what he's talking about. He is not talking about being saved. We are saved. What is he talking about? We experience the power of this salvation that we have. Notice what he says. Receiving at the end of your faith. That is, when you go through and you believe and you've conquered and God has brought you through and you still trust Him, at the end of that faith, you receive something. And the word means to personally receive it unto yourself. It is of benefit to you. And what is it? The salvation of your soul. Not to be saved, but the idea is that you experience this salvation really, really work. You experience the power of this salvation. See, God saved me by justifying me and making me righteous before God. He's now in the process of molding me and shaping me and making me more Christ-like. And then one day He will take me home. And I experience the salvation of my soul, not to be saved, partly as an evidence I am saved, but I experience the actual power of this salvation working, giving me the peace, giving me the grace, giving me the love when they hate, giving me what I needed. You actually experience the power of salvation working in the life. How better for God to demonstrate His power than when you're at the weakest and the lowest and most desperate, and then God can show you the power of the salvation, will lift you up, will give you peace, will give you grace, will take you through. And that's what he means. At the end of your faith, you receive this marvelous work of salvation in your soul. You know what I'm talking about. I'm not the same man I was 5 years ago. Why? Because God has worked greater in my heart. He's brought more grace in my heart. And that's what happens when you go through trials. They bring you to a point. And see, we don't have a fake salvation. We don't just have a salvation that's on a piece of paper. We have a real salvation that the Holy Spirit has come to live in us. And He's conforming and shaping us and molding us. We have a real power to conquer sin and all the appetites of sinfulness. And in the midst of trials, when we're the weakest, then God works to bring out His grace and His Christ-likeness. And we experience the power of that salvation. And then, lastly, God does a personal work in us. Precious faith, a personal relationship to Him, the power of our salvation, but secondly, the perspective of God. Go back, if you will, to verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You know what he's saying? He's actually, I believe he is saying, that when Christ comes, when we see Christ, the faith that we've had in him, the love and the trust that we've had in him, we will receive from him three things: praise, honor, and glory. I think he's talking about we will receive, will be found under praise and honor and glory, that we would actually receive God's praise. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. God is pleased with his children. Job went through difficulty and complained, and his friends did not help him, but in the end, he knew he could trust Job. And Job is an example where God says, look, there's my man. I praise him for what faith he had in me. He trusted me. You know, people get a lot of credit for different things, but I want to get some credit from God. I want God to say, man, Tim, well done. Praise, and secondly, honor. Honor, some say he's talking about rewards, I don't know. But we receive his honor and his blessing. And finally, we receive glory. We're changed one day to be like him. This process of salvation that works in our lives and God takes us through, in the end, we will be a demonstration to him of his grace, and we will receive his praise and his honor and his glory. As God will say, wow, you trusted me. I worked in you and you trusted me and you depended on me. You see, trials do a work in us, but also there's something I think that God sees in them that's precious to him. God's not on the same wavelength as the world is with all the things they talk about. What God is on a different wavelength, and for those of us who are his children, we need to be encouraged that God will give us praise and honor and glory in eternity. He'll receive all the praise and honor and glory, but we will be appreciated because we've trusted in him and God has been faithful to us and we have been faithful to him. Trials are not fun, but they do produce a good result. Now, when I say trials, we must be careful. I think ultimately trials result of living in this fallen world and this sinful world. I cannot explain. I can't even explain what happened on TV. I can't explain what I hear. I cannot explain it. But I just know for God and his children, God does good. And the very first phrase of verse 6, wherein you greatly rejoice. What? Not in the trial, but in my eternal inheritance. I think of maybe children who've gone on. I think of other folks. You know what? Heaven will take care of all of it. That's all I know. And I know God is good and God is gracious to his children. And you know and I know that he does take us through and good will come. He will bring good. He will work. He will never, ever, ever abandon his children because he loves us.